Back in the book of Ephesians. What a wonderful book. I believe this is the 17th message. We started October 19th going through the book of Ephesians. This is the 17th message. Some of our visitors might say, well, y'all probably in the last chapter. No, we're in chapter number 4 of Ephesians. Amen. And I have enjoyed studying it. It has ministered to me. It is the gospel. If you ever want to know what the gospel is, Ephesians is the book of the gospel. It is the book of the gospel. And we have learned a lot about what God has done for us. Let's look today at Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm just going to read a few verses, well, maybe 6. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, verses 1 through 6. Amen. Amen. With the title of the message being, I want to be worthy of Calvary. I want to be worthy of Calvary. Paul says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Yes. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Uh-oh. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for being God all by yourself. Thank you for not needing a co-signer. You said in Genesis that you couldn't find anyone else to of signing off on this covenant. You signed off on yourself.
Amen.
You're a good God and a holy God. You're worthy to be praised. You've done so many wonderful things. 66 books couldn't cover them all. You saved us. You called us. You filled us with your Holy Ghost. And we thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Father God, for this day.
Yes, sir. This day.
This people.
This word.
And we ask right now that you would just bless it.
Yes, Lord.
Let us leave out of here, Father God, full of joy.
Yeah.
In the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. I want to be worthy of Calvary. Many folks have been incarcerated for things that they thought worthwhile. On this day, Martin Luther King's birthday, Martin Luther King was jailed many times for protesting and fighting the Jim Crow laws.
Yes, sir.
Some of you young people ought to remember that as you go out and drink out of a water fountain or walk into a bathroom in Walmart, there was a time where that was not possible.
Amen.
When we think about the Little Rock Nine, these young African Americans challenged the segregation laws of that day. It made it possible for you to go to Austintown, Fitch, or Liberty, or Hubbard, or Niles, or Poland, or wherever you want to go. We won't take it for granted that the Greensboro Four, these young African American men, went to jail because they weren't allowed to eat at the local restaurant.
Amen.
They weren't going to be served. So the next time you at Wendy's or Jenny's or Bob Evans or whatever your flavor, just think there was a time
Amen.
That you weren't able to sit here and be served.
No, no. Amen.
And now we can go in and complain about the food.
Amen.
Not leave a tip. Next time you see a Greyhound bus,
Amen. Amen.
Don't think only of Rosa Parks.
No.
Rosa Parks refused to give her seat up.
Yes, she
was put in jail for saying that I don't think I have to.
Yeah.
Now, we have the Freedom Riders.
Yes, sir.
Right. Oh, listen.
Oh, yeah.
If our folks right in here going to Columbus that couldn't get back, the car broke down, thanks to the Freedom Fighters, they could get on a bus. And travel interstate because there was a time you couldn't get on a bus and go anywhere across state, let alone locally. So we talk about these folks who were incarcerated or prisoned for what they believed. That's right. Somebody said killed. A lot of blood was shed. So you can go out and get an education. You can thank God for that. But today I want to talk about the Apostle Paul.
Yes.
The Apostle Paul suffered.
Yes, he did. Yes.
Was placed in prison
mm-hmm.
for preaching the gospel to the Gentiles,
mm-hmm.
to the non-Jews. Preaching the gospel to us so we can sit here today
yes.
in churches all over this country and hear God's word. Paul taught it wasn't just for the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
It was for the Gentiles also.
Yeah.
And when the Jews found out that Paul was preaching the word of God to the Gentiles and that Gentiles were going to be saved, they were infuriated.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where they placed this great man of God in prison.
Mm-hmm.
But that didn't stop him. In prison, he wrote some of the finest letters ever written. And today we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 4. Now we went through 1 through 3 of Ephesians and it's just doctrinal. It's just doctrinal. Somebody say, what is doctrine? What is doctrine? Doctrine is gospel teaching. Okay? That's what the gospel is. The doctrine is gospel teaching. Now I look at the young ladies, they hear, they fund commandment keepers. Listen, if you don't have sound doctrine, you won't know what commandments to keep or how to keep them.
Amen.
This church is called Christian Bible Baptist Church. I don't place a whole lot of emphasis on Baptist, but I place a lot of emphasis on Bible.
Amen.
The Bible must be preached. It must be taught. Because, like we said in Sunday school, it is impossible to believe anything if it isn't on a firm foundation.
Yes.
And we have a lot of folks that believe stuff that they don't understand what they believe.
Amen.
And when they're questioned about it, when the 7-day wonder or one of the 7-day Adventists come up and question them about a doctrine, they don't have clues.
Uh-huh.
We need to know what we know.
Amen.
Paul spent 3 chapters on doctrine.
Amen.
If you look at Ephesians chapter 1 and just to look back on it, he let the people know, first of all, who they were in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 3, he talks about how they were blessed in all spiritual blessings.
Yeah.
Verse 4 talks about how they were chosen before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
Verse number 5 talks about being predestined.
Or
predetermined. Verse number 6 said we were accepted in the Beloved. Amen. Amen ought to go there. We were accepted in the Beloved. We have the same rights as God's called, chosen people, the Jews, whom He loved.
Amen.
Look at verse number 7. He said, we were redeemed.
Yes,
redeemed by His blood.
Yes.
Verse 7 also said, we were forgiven sins. If you're saved here,
yes.
God has saved you. He has forgiven you of your sins.
Yes.
And you can't go to heaven without being forgiven.
That's right.
If you think you can stand before a holy God with unforgiven sin in your life, I'm here to tell you, don't want to do it. Verse number 9 says he made known to us the mystery of his will.
Yes, yeah.
Verse 11 says we have obtained an inheritance. Verse number 12, I like this one, says that we should be to the praise of his glory.
Yes.
And verse 13 says that we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And folks, if you seal with the Holy Ghost, you rest assured you are heaven bound, because the Holy Spirit will not spend eternity in hell. God did all that for us in chapter 1 of Ephesians. And then in chapter 2, as we study doctrine, that's doctrine. Go back online, go to Sermon Audio, and dig up some of those 17 sermons on doctrine. And then when we look at chapter 2, he talked about who we were before he came and called us. He says in chapter 2, verse 1, and you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's all of us if you're saved. David said, in my mother's womb was I conceived in sin. Then he says, how he did this. See, we talked about this morning, the law don't save. See, the law couldn't save. They were under the law before Christ came and died for our sins. In verse number 8 of chapter 2, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. Let me say that again. For by grace, God's unmerited favor, are you saved, delivered.
Yes, sir.
Through faith. Faith in Christ.
That's right.
Not faith in man. Not faith in a doctrine. But faith in Jesus Christ and what he did by dying on Calvary's cross. That's how we save. And not of yourself.
Amen.
Not of yourself.
Amen.
Nobody could die for you. Reverend Jones and I together couldn't get on a cross and die for anybody's sin. It took the blood of a spotless lamb.
Yes,
and Jesus was that.
Yes.
And by faith, we have to believe.
Yes,
you can't believe on your own. You need to ask God right now. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and you're struggling with understanding the Word of God, say, God, give me the faith to believe.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
I want to be saved. I want to live a holy life. I want to live a righteous life. I want to honor my mother and father.
Amen.
Give me the faith to believe. Because what I have ain't working real good.
Amen.
He said, well, by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Jesus Christ coming down from heaven was God's gift to a dying world. What a wonderful gift.
What a
wonderful gift. Look at verse number 12 of chapter 2. Then he says who we were spiritually. This is who we were spiritually before God stepped into our dark world. He said that at that time ye were without Christ. Look, if you're here today and you're without Christ, this is you. That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having
no
hope. And that hope means no hope of heaven. No hope of spending eternity with God or with your saved loved ones. No hope. And without God in the world, you are a nightmare.
Yes, sir.
If you are without God in this world we live in today, you are headed for trouble. There is nothing that will stop you from doing what that young man did up in Connecticut. There is nothing that will stop you from getting behind the wheel of a car and running into a crowd of people. There is nothing.
Absolutely.
Satan wants to destroy you.
Amen.
And if you are without God in the world, you are the most miserable. If you can talk back to your parents and grandparents and sass folks and be disrespectful to the law and to the school systems, you are without hope. But glory be to God.
Amen.
Because He's a good God.
Yes. Yes.
Look at verse 17. And He came and preached peace to you which were afar off, to them that are nigh. Mm-hmm. It's a blessing to come to church.
Yes.
The word of God has to be preached.
Yes.
Somebody may be here today afar off.
Yes.
Well, you can go to church all your life and not know the Lord.
Amen.
And your parents can drag you here every Sunday and you can give a hoot about the things of God.
Amen.
All but God's word will not return void.
Amen.
So Paul gives us all this doctrine in 1 and 2. And then in verse chapter number 3, he stops again. And he just looks back and reflects. And he says, for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. I'm in prison and I'm not complaining about it. I'm in prison because I have preached the gospel to a lost people. God is so good.
Yes,
Paul knew that. Paul said, these bonds don't mean nothing to me. Sometimes God, I have to sit you down. Well, don't worry about your children. God will get at them. The effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much.
Amen.
Some of us learn our best lessons on our backs.
Amen.
With a couple IVs in you.
Yes, sir.
Your prayer life gets better.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Sometimes your prayer life gets better when you're handcuffed and on your face.
Yes, sir. Yes. Yes.
Saying, bad boy, bad boy. What you gonna do? When they come for you. Oh, they coming. Paul said, I'm Paul, the prisoner of the Lord. And he just couldn't finish. He go all the way to 14. And he said, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father. And listen at this prayer. Listen at this prayer. As he gets ready to go into the second part of this chapter of this book of Ephesians, that Christ may dwell in your hearts.
Uh-oh.
By faith.
Amen.
That's the prayer of Paul.
Yeah.
It ought to be the prayer of every saint. When we get up here to pray, when Reverend Jones and Sister Jones are walking in this sanctuary and praying and calling out for help, they're requesting that folks come in and join this prayer ministry. They're looking for folks that's going to pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts.
Yes,
sir. Amen. I mean, it's good to pray for help.
Yes, sir.
There's a whole lot of folks out there, healthy as can be, with a bad heart. With a bad heart. Can run a 100-yard dash at record speed. Can slam dunk a basketball from the free throw line. Can drive a NASCAR 190 miles an hour around a corner. Got talent. Got good health. But their hearts is bad. Our prayer, Paul's prayer, and our prayer should reflect. He said he prayed that they would be rooted and grounded in love. And then they would understand. Get some understanding of what God has done. Get some understanding of the height and the depth and the length of God's love. And then he said this, verse 21, in review. Y'all know I love reviewing. I get it from Paul.
Amen.
Paul loved to review his work. Then he said unto him, be glory in the church. See, the church ought to be a place where God is glorified. It ought to be a church where folk come to glorify God. We it's good to come to sing. It's good to come to fellowship. It's good to come to communion. It's good to come, but it ought to be a place where God is glorified. And we are the church. And the real service starts
when we leave.
That's when we give God our best glory. It's easy to glorify God when you're around a bunch of saints. But when you get around a bunch of ants, can you still glorify Him? Or do we shut our mouths? If they came to your job and they wanted to arrest you for being a Christian, would they have enough evidence? Would your classmates say, "Oh, you got the wrong person. That brother ain't no Christian. That sister ain't no Christian. You ought to hear her cuss and talk. You ought to hear the music she listens to. You ought to hear how she break it all the way down. And you arrested her for being a Christian? You got to be kidding. You ought to arrest me." Can you be charged?
Amen.
Can you be indicted? They charge you with anything.
Amen.
But they got to get the evidence. Yeah, brother. Pray over his food in the chow hall. He don't be lying nobody around him cussing. Y'all know. I therefore. Chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore. Now remember what we're talking about here. Paul was a prisoner of the Lord. And he was calling these folks to walk worthy. Worthy of what Christ has done. Think about it. Worthy of what He has done. Worthy of His suffering on Calvary. Worthy of the spit being spit in His face. How He was slapped around. A crown of thorns slammed on His head. How He was ridiculed and mocked even while He was dying. Paul said we ought to want to live life worthy of that. Then he goes, I therefore. That therefore makes you want to reflect back. What's that therefore, therefore? And he said, Pastor, what do you mean? Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Well, you know you're a prisoner of the Lord, Paul. Paul was in a Roman jail. See, we would have said, I keep the prisoner of the state of Ohio for robbing two banks and, you know. Paul wasn't in jail for that.
Amen.
Paul was a prisoner of the Lord.
Amen.
And even while he was in prison, he was begging.
Yes.
He could have called himself a prisoner of the Lord. Paul could have called himself a beggar. You know, Paul had the gift of begging. You know, people say, well, there's a gift of begging. We need that gift. We need to pray, God, give me the gift of begging. I want to be able to beg my friends. I thank God we have some visitors here. We need to get out here and do more evangelism, more talking about Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
But then we got to back it up.
Yeah.
Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. We had the story of the man came in. The truck driver came into the warehouse and he cussing and swearing. This place is a mess. And then the next half an hour later, he's sitting at the desk talking to a young man about the things of God. We see that. We see that a lot in our world. I come in to work on my job and people that know me as a man of God. And they'll say, hey, man of God, how you doing? God bless you. Praise the Lord. They used to give me all those religious platitudes. Then 5 minutes later, they're talking to the other crowd. Same thing. Paul said, no. He said, I'm begging you right now. I'm begging you. That's the way the word beseech means. I'm begging you. It's not a word that just means regular begging. Begging like in Detroit or New Orleans. They got begging laws. They got panhandler laws where they can only follow you 60 feet from the store. You can only beg certain hours of the day. No, Paul's not talking about that kind of begging. This is a fervent urgency. This is an urgent, earnest begging. He is begging that you would do what? Walk worthy. And that walk means your movement, your activities, your day-to-day things that you do, your walk. It's a moving of the body. And as you move in a way that glorifies God.
Mm-hmm.
That you walk worthy. Of God. What does it mean to walk worthy? I guess that would be the question I would ask Paul. Paul was saying this to me. He said, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation. Again, that word vocation means He called you. We read 1 and 2. He talked about where you was at. You was on the way to hell. You was dying in your sins. You was living for the world. You were serving Satan, and you were serving him with everything you had. And it took the power of God to shake you out of that deadness and to pull you out of that muck in the mire, to call you out of darkness into His marvelous light. It took the power of the resurrection to do that. It took Christ sending His Son to earth to die for your sins.
Amen.
To pull you out of the mess. And now Paul says, based on that, based on what God has done for you, based on what God has done for you, you are walk worthy of that. You are walk worthy of that. And that was a constant theme. The word worthy, walk a manner that's praiseworthy, that's commendable, that's credible. We ought to walk credible. We ought to be all the most credible people on this earth. And we wonder why this world going to hell in a handbasket. It's because the church of God, the people of God, are not walking worthy of the vocation wherewith they have been called. Paul said, walk worthy. Why is that so important? Because we are the only Bible. We are the only God that people see. We are gods to people, to the lost world. We are supposed to be the light in a dark place. We ought to be salt in a dying, decaying world. Back in the day, they would put salt in the meat just to preserve it, to make it last. And God uses that illustration. We ought to be the salt of the earth. But look at the world we live in. We're not salty. We're not salty. And we're going to be called on it. I say it all the time. I'm going to say it again. Judgment.
Justice.
Must begin in the house of God. And if the people of God's house aren't salty and full of light, how can a dark world survive?
Amen.
You may be the only light in your place. You may be the only light in school. You wonder what's wrong with the public schools. The church is what's wrong with the public schools. Oh, they took prayer out of school. They didn't take prayer out of school. Who's going to stop you from praying and you walking down the hallways? Who can stop you from praying at a football game? Showmanship maybe has been taken out of the schools. Can't nobody stop me from praying. I work for the state. Praying all day. Listen. This worthy walk.
Thank you.
Paul talked about it. Right. You know, I talked about it on New Year's Eve, and I have to go back. Everybody wasn't here New Year's Eve.
Amen.
Look at Colossians.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Colossians.
Paul loved to talk about the worthy walk.
The worthy walk.
Look at Colossians chapter 9.
I'm
the Word of God stands on its own. I don't have to exegete all of it. Some of it just reads. Some of it just read. Some of you will be blessed just by the reading of the word. That's all Paul told Timothy to do. He said, preach the word, Timothy. Okay? Read it and explain it. Some of it you don't have to explain. Paul says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Prayer warriors, pray that your people be filled with spiritual understanding and knowledge of His will.
Yes.
Prayer warriors, ask or pray that He would be filled with understanding, spiritual understanding, and knowledge of His will. Why, Paul? That ye might walk, how?
Worthy
of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. There's a prayer. We pray for the worthy walk. Pray that our young people in here, we pray all kind of things for them, but pray that they might walk worthy. And they can't walk worthy if they're not taught sound doctrine. And they're hearing it. They can sit here and text, and they can joke, and they can scribble and everything else, but God's word will not return void. You can lay out.
Amen.
I'm a preacher.
Amen.
Preach it right through your sleepness.
Amen.
Goes off on me. I'm a preacher. Then we pray this. Oh, Paul praying for these folks. I'm praying this right now, Glorious. I'm praying this right now. I'm praying this right now, Ray and little Jeremy and Bobby and Keely. I'm praying it right now that you will be strengthened with all might. According to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Now, Pastor, why are you preaching that for me? Because to survive in this world, in this sick and sick, evil world, you need to be strengthened with all His might. And you'll know you have it. You'll know you have it. When they come around you with the drugs and the alcohol and the booze and the cigarette and the gangs, you will have it.
Yeah.
You'll be able to stand on your own.
Yeah.
When somebody comes up, you need to get some tattoos on your ears and on your neck and all over your back and all over your behind, all down your legs, you'll say, no, because I'm in strength under this mic.
Yeah.
I know what the Word of God said. The Word of God said, I'll not cut my body. I'll not put nothing on my body.
Amen.
I'm not sign off, put names all over me. I'm not do it.
Amen.
And because God said it,
that's right.
That settles it.
Amen.
And when they call you a lame and a sucker and all that, you can say, I've been stripped with His might.
Yes.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm an overcomer.
Amen.
Amen. I'm a child of the King. And this same God that gives me strength have delivered us. Look at verse 13. Who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us unto the kingdom of His dear Son. In whom we have redemption through His blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. You can start today. You can start today. God will start right now. He'll forgive you right now of your sins. And unlike men and women, we will keep throwing them up. But God said in His word, I will not remember them. I will remove them from you as far as the east is from the west. I hope I got my arms going the right way. Paul loved that, given that doctrine. Listen, let me give you one more. You know, y'all gave me a little time today. Paul in Romans. I love this one. He gave him 11 chapters of doctrine. If you read Romans, the first 11 chapters are all doctrine. All of what God has done. The Word of God is a doctrinal book. But then when you get to verse chapter number 12, the doctrine stops and there we go. Paul with another therefore. And he's begging again. I think Paul's just a beggar. He's just a beggar. And that's all I'm doing today. I'm just begging. I'm begging you young folks. See, I want to come to Columbus to a graduation. See, I want to come to Columbus to a wedding. I want to come to Columbus to a funeral. I want to come to Columbus and clap as you walk off stage. I want to come to Columbus with $50. That's all my wife's going to give me for the gift. Then I want to come to Corners and eat some chicken. And some macaroni and cheese. At the graduation party. Or at the wedding. Chicken don't taste as good at funerals. So Paul's begging. He's begging again. We find him, Dave. We find him begging in chapter 12 of Romans. He said, I beg you, therefore, loving by the mercies of God, God's mercies not giving us what we deserve, and we deserve hell to open wide open, the hell to crack wide open and us fall right in. That's what we deserve. But God shut up hell. Thank you, Lord, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Young people, listen to this. And be not conformed. Don't let this world change you. Don't let this world break your will. Stay strong and united to the things of God. Offer your body up as a living sacrifice. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How, Paul? By the renewing of your mind. Get into this word daily. Let the word of God have an impact on your mind.
Amen.
That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, Paul, stop your begging. No, Paul, it's contagious. It's contagious. Listen, Paul. Paul says, how can Paul feel this way? How can Paul be so confident of the things that God could do? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. I know I'm turning a lot of pages. Turn with me. I don't have nothing to say. Listen, let the word of God speak. Paul could be confident of this very thing because he knew 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9 said, for God is faithful. I probably said enough right there because God is faithful. He is faithful. He is going to do what he said he's going to do. He is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our Lord, listen, people. How should we walk? Paul said, how should we walk? Turn to 2 Corinthians. Please turn there. I just want to help somebody. I'm just begging and spitting around here, you know. I know. I'm just begging and spitting. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, familiar stuff. How should we walk? How should we walk as a people? Now, I may direct some of this stuff to young folks. You need to hear. Old folks need to hear it too. Okay?
Yes, sir.
We all need to hear. Because we need to be effective. And if we don't be effective, we have to live a certain way. Paul says, here's how we ought to do this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Paul said, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. See, unbelievers can't be your best friend, saints. They can be an acquaintance. But if you got an unbeliever, somebody that don't worship the Lord, don't serve God, don't care about the things of God, and that's your best friend, you are unequally yoked. So don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Give them the word of God. And if God convicts them and changes their heart and they become the people of God, then they can be your besties. Why, Paul? Why can't I be yoked together with unbelievers? Why can't I like this unsaved boy? What y'all gonna talk about? If you love the Lord, what you gonna talk to an unsaved person about? Why? Here's why Paul says, for what fellowship? For what fellowship?
Yes, sir.
Have righteousness with unrighteousness? What fellowship does unrighteousness have with righteousness? You getting ready for church and she coming home from being out all night.
Don't worry. Okay. Just don't worry.
don't work. He said, what fellowship does righteousness have and unrighteousness? How about this one? And what communion have light with darkness? None. And what concord? That's not a jet. That's not grape jelly. That word means agreement. What in what agreement had Christ with Belial? Now, we name our kids a whole lot of names. None of you in here got a friend named Belial. Because that means the devil. Okay? So, what concord had Christ with the devil? Of what part have he that believeth with an infidel?
Come on now.
An infidel is an unbeliever.
Yes.
To the highest order.
Yes.
I heard Christians say, well, you know, I got a good friend. A good friend of mine is a Muslim. How can you? How can you have a good friend that's a Muslim? When a Muslim don't believe that Jesus Christ is God's only begotten Son, if you go into Egypt and look at the temple mosque over there, it says right on the front, Allah has no son. Well, the foundation of Christianity is based on John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish. How dare you? My best friend is a Muslim.
How dare you?
Will you take your little Bible and go to the mosque and see how fast they put you out of there?
Oh, yeah.
And you go to the mosque and start praying for Jesus.
Amen.
I'm going to help with somebody.
Amen.
And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? Anybody know the Ten Commandments? That's number two. Okay? You can't be running around with idols. Things that's more important in your life than God. For ye are the temple of the living God. Our bodies are temples. God, listen, God lives in us. Watch this. For ye are the temple of God, of the living God, a living, anything living, moving around. Do you feel God moving around in you? When you're at work, do you feel God moving around in you? When you're walking around the mall, when you see all this mess going on, do you feel God moving in you? There's a person of the Holy Spirit that's in us. And this is what Paul says, and walk in them. I will dwell in them. He lives in us, and he walks in us. I didn't say that. That's the word of God. And walk in them. God is walking in us.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness.
He said, and I will be their God. And I will be their God.
Yes, sir.
And they shall be my people. If God is in you, he's controlling you.
Amen.
And if you're doing whatever you big and bad enough to do, guess what? God most likely has left the building. Or has never been there.
Never been there. Thank you.
Everybody talking about heaven
ain't going.
Now you ought to feel the presence of God moving in you.
Yeah.
Walking around. You ought sometimes just like, get out of here. You ought not be in here. Look at Paul, verse 17. He said, wherefore? If God is living in you, walking around in you, in the building, wherefore come out from among them.
Yes.
Come out from among them and be ye
separate.
That's sanctification. That's the definition of sanctification. Separate. Say the Lord and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. What are you touching, folks? What are you touching? Well, Paul's talking about this walk. Let's go back to Ephesians. Paul's talking about this walk. It's a worthy walk.
Yeah.
What makes it worthy, Paul? Paul says, It's a worthy walk. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you call. How, Paul? Here's how it goes. With all lowliness. How about that? Lowliness, humility, modesty. Modesty on the inside. Modesty on the outside. Paul said we ought to walk in modesty and humility. Oh, that's not being taught no more.
Amen.
Come as you are. And you know, most churches let out in and they look like a Super Bowl party let out. Look at 1 Peter. Can I keep flying through this fire? That's all I have, people. Y'all came. Y'all should have called me. Y'all know I ain't sing.
Come on.
Y'all know I ain't hooping, whooping. Y'all know I just preached. Y'all had me for a year before y'all called me, so that's all y'all getting. If y'all get tired of it, then let me know. I still got a job. Look at 1 Peter 5 and 5. He again, you know, some people say, well, you know, the young people, you know, ain't nothing in the Bible for me. I didn't know y'all was coming.
Keep reading.
All right. But you know, God knew y'all was coming.
Amen.
See, if God knew y'all was coming, then you know, what else is there? He said, likewise, you younger.
You younger.
Jill. Jeremy. Now Jeremy said, man, I'm the only name you know? I love you, Jeremy.
Amen.
Bobby. Yeah. Doris. Keelan. Yeah. Ray, where you at? Little Justin.
Uh-huh.
He said, like, why are you younger?
Yeah.
Then the Columbus crew.
Amen.
Like, why are you younger? Submit yourself unto the elder.
Yeah.
The elder be the pastor. He said, yea, all of you be subject one to another. Right now, we can talk about the elder. That's your uncle. That's your grandpa. That's your auntie. That's your babysitter. The mama called her to babysit for you. She got enough trust in her to do the right thing. So respect her. But look what he says. He says, be clothed.
What?
Be dressed.
What?
Mm-hmm. With humility.
Yes.
Now, what's that look like, Pastor? You are prepared for whatever situation because you are so low to the ground. Nobody gonna come into your life and just knock you over. See, when we proud and we standing tall, we can be knocked over. But when we on our knees, it is hard to get knocked over when we are in a prayer position. Paul said, live like that. Be clothed with humility, a lowliness of spirit. Don't think so highly of yourself. Be prepared to act in humility in every situation. Because it's coming at you. Satan coming at you. And let him run into humility. Prepare yourself for the coming conflict. And the best way to prepare is to get low. You don't see soldiers over in Afghanistan, Iraq, running around all tall. They crawling. Oh, they crawling on their faces. Down in the foxholes and stuff. See, we say we just all around tall. Walk and tall. He said, not only walk in humility. Not only get low. And stay low. Get low, stay low.
Mm-hmm.
He keeps going. And I'm going to uncover a couple of these graces. Somebody said, amen. Amen. Somebody told me last week, I didn't want you to stop. I said, oh, thank you. I didn't want to stop neither. But I know what I know. Listen. He says, not only walk in lowliness, but in meekness. Somebody says, what is meekness, Pastor? I hear that word a lot. Meek. Somebody say power under control. Yeah, that's power under control. That's a good word for it. But it is having the power to react against someone, but refusing to. Someone has crossed you. Someone has done you wrong. And instead of lashing out, you refuse to.
Amen.
You say, you know, I'm not.
There you go.
Listen, let me give you a better illustration. Uh-oh. Jesus was teaching. He said, if someone slap you on the face, turn the other cheek. Now, I've heard that scripture just messed up because it doesn't mean if someone literally slapped you. But Jesus is using an illustration because the Roman soldiers would walk up to the Jews and just slap them. And then nothing a Jew could do. And you got 100 men sitting behind a Roman soldier slap you. You just turn the other cheek. This ain't somebody at Walmart slap you because it say 12 items and you got 13. You might have to put in some work. What Jesus is illustrating here is meekness. He's saying that meekness will refuse to retaliate or take vengeance out. It will just go on with it. That's what he's saying. The meek person will refuse to react with vinegar. Okay?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Oh, come on. Take some of that out of it. You can walk around in meekness. And it's hard to when you are a person who's walking in lowliness and meekness, is not easily offended.
Amen.
Okay? You prepare for whatever's coming your way.
Uh-huh.
Now, Jesus was the meekest man. He said, I am meek and lowly of heart. And he took it.
Yeah,
and he took it. And the only time he ever thought back was when they dishonored the Lord or his God.
Yes,
I'm still there, Ephesians 4. We're going to walk in lowliness and meekness. And I'm going to cover long suffering. Listen, imagine what's long suffering? It's one of the fruits of the Spirit.
Right?
So we don't like to hear that. Long suffering is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. What's the fourth one? Love, joy, peace. Long suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Patient. Patience, it's the ability to suffer long without complaining. See, you're not long suffering when things are not going your way and you sitting there with a pistol in your lap, a bottle of pills and a razor, and you complaining about how bad you have it. That's not long suffering.
No,
okay? See, the person with the gift of long suffering, you know, you hear people say, well, count to 10. No. The person who's long suffering and count to 10, who count to 1,000? Oh, come on now. I'm count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'm back bad again. Now that's not long suffering. The long suffering person will count to 1,000. The person long suffering, he got a short fuse. No. The long suffering person got a long fuse.
Yes.
Amen.
See, God will give you a long fuse. Some of us got short fuses.
Amen.
And we need a long fuse.
Amen.
God, give me a longer fuse. But this one here is quick. I can't even get the firecracker out of my hand. I know folks that got caught with, we back in the day, we had a brother, M80. Somebody put it in his pocket and the fuse was short. Went and grabbed it out, and now he's walking around with peace sign all the time. Short fuse. Do you have a long fuse? Okay. I don't know. The long-suffering person, the long-suffering person can suffer with grace. Can suffer with grace. We suffer with grace because God will use you in your suffering. You'll find out what's in you when you're suffering. Anybody can praise the Lord. Got a new car. You know, got Bob Barker in the background. A new car! Praise the Lord!
Yeah.
A cruise to the Bahamas! Praise the Lord! I just come back from my cruise. When the cruise ship is taking on water. And the captain is in the tugboat floating away. Now we'll see, you know, them same saints that was having Bible study on the ship. Wasn't drinking nothing or wasn't eating, you know, wasn't partying. They were just having their little Bible study. But when the ship is going down, what them saints doing? That's long suffering. Somebody say pushing other folk off the boat, trying to get out. Listen, last one, my deacons is getting active up here. With lowliness and meekness and long suffering and forbearing one another in love. How about that one? How about that one? That's not an easy one there. But a forbearing love is a difficult love. And it really means loving the difficult person.
Amen.
Loving the person that caused you to blues. Loving the person that you can't. You know, I thank God for this church. I thank God for this church because, you know, I don't believe there's anybody in here that can't speak to somebody else. I really noticed that because I've been in churches where, you know, this half was, you know, and this half didn't deal with that half. I mean, I've been there. I've seen it. And I noticed the absence of it here. Everybody in here loves one another. And I believe God has given this church forbearing love. Because some of us can be difficult to love. Some of us can be difficult to love. But Paul asked the church in verse 17 that God may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love. And forbearing love is rooted and grounded in love. That's what it said. Forbearing one another. How? In love. In love. Listen. Listen. Do you have forbearing love? 1 Thessalonians 5:15, Paul was teaching again. He said, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but follow that which is good, both among yourselves and all man. You know, we need to take these truths, and as I close, we need to take these truths because we live in a world where a lack of humility is on the rapid. On the rampage, folks are not humble anymore. Back in the days, I'm back in the old days. I got a couple of little illustrations here. Carly Simon wrote a song. Some of y'all know it. I hit a few verses, and you would jump right to your systems. But she wrote a song that really indicates the church today. You know, we looking for pat on the backs and attaboys. She wrote a song said. You're so vain. You probably think the song's about you, don't you? Bet you do. You know? We live in a world where people are vain. And vain means empty. And we ought to be full. But I didn't finish with that. Because I got another one back from the 60s and 70s. And it talks about Paul. Because Paul was a beggar. And I'm talking about begging. And there was a group called the Temptations. And one of the lines, and it says, if I have to beg and plead for your sympathy, I don't mind because it means that much to me. aim to prosper. Y'all know that? You know the church is looking for some folks, some young folks, some old folks, to aim to proud to beg. To aim to proud to beg. Because God is good. And if you have a friend or classmate that you know that's lost, you ought not be too proud to get on your knees and beg God. If you love your children and you know they lost and in trouble, you ought to be on your knees. You ought not be too proud to beg and plead for their salvation. For their salvation. God, save them. Save them. Touch them. Save them. And many of our young people are no different than the prodigal sons.
Right.
And they could be sitting right here and be far away. Some of them are far away, all the way into the... sitting on the edge of the fence, watching the pigs. And we need to pray. Pray, God, that our young people, our husbands, our lost loved ones would come to their senses. Come to your senses. Paul, the beggar, prayed that we would walk worthy. Amen.